4. We'll start there, and we'll be looking at other passages as well, but Matthew chapter number 3 and 4. Matthew chapter number 3 and 4. It's the story of Jesus when he came to John to be baptized in verse 13. And John, verse 14 of chapter 3, Matthew 3, 14, John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it be now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Then Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward an hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written, Again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's pray, and we will get started today. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity to be in church together. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word. Thank you for the opportunity we have now to hear from your word. And I pray that you'd guide my mind and mouth, and that your Holy Spirit would speak, and that we would hear what you would have said today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, verse 4 says, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus, when he did there, if you have one of those Bibles with the red ink in it, every time he quoted, he was quoting scripture. He was quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and he was fighting the devil with the word of God. That's what he was doing. The Bible says the word of God is the sword, and we need to recognize that God's word is our weapon. And what I want to do today is I want to preach to you something that many of you have heard the concept before. And that is this, that God's word is the absolute necessity of life. We need the word of God. Now think about what Jesus said. Now think about who Jesus is, first of all. Is he pretty important? the old commercial, E.F. Hutton, when E.F. Hutton talked, everybody listened. This is Jesus talking. Jesus said, Man shall not live by bread alone. Now, I'm guessing that most everybody in here ate something this morning or at least yesterday. And probably will be eating something today or at least tomorrow. Why? Because food's pretty important. But Job said in Job 23 that he esteems the words of God more than his necessary food. And Jesus said, Man shall not live by bread alone. He had been fasting for 40 days. I fasted for a day, but I've never fasted for 40 days. He fasted for 40 days, and then he said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I do believe, because of God's blessing, I do believe that we have God's word in English, and I believe I have an every word Bible, and I can trust the word of God. I don't think that Jesus would tell us that we can live by every word that proceeded out of his mouth if he then lost it. So I do believe that God preserved his word. Not necessarily every language on planet Earth has a good copy of God's word right now. I do know that. But I do believe that God has preserved his word. And therefore, I want to encourage you and I today with the understanding of how important it is to know and to respect, and most importantly, to apply, to use God's word. If you are involved with this church for any length of time, you know that at the beginning of the year, we always give out a calendar that has a Bible reading program on it, a schedule where you can read God's word. There are different options in that calendar as well. You can read through the Proverbs every day of the month. There's 31 chapters. There's 31 days usually. You can read the Psalms twice in a year. You can read the Old Testament once in a year. You can read the New Testament twice in a year, or you can just read all of the Bible once in the entire year, just following it and going through the different parts of it. You can read God's word complete from Genesis to Revelation from January 1st to December 31st. It really does not matter so much that you read the entire Bible in a year, although I think that is a good goal, but it is important that you read God's word every day. For instance, I do not go to the grocery store and buy everything they have. Going to Lynn's Dakota Mart and saying, I ate everything they have on the shelves. It's about making sure I get what I need on a daily basis. Because daily bread was something 2,000 years ago that they understood. They didn't have all this stuff they got in it now that makes it, you know, last on the shelf. It was a daily bread thing. And we need to recognize the importance of the daily bread. Go back to the Old Testament where they had the manna. You couldn't try to eat ahead. It was daily given to them each day. And that's how we are to assume and to use God's word. And that is on a daily basis. Now you're looking at someone who went to Bible college.
I have a piece of paper in my office that says that I are smart because I graduated from Bible college. So therefore, I know the Bible and I don't need to read it anymore. Wrong.
See, there is no diploma from reading the Word of God. There is no graduation from that. It is applicable and it is something that you and I must do, all of us, on a daily basis. We need to understand. And why I'm burdened about this is because today's world, right now and in our immediate future, I see a great need for people to recognize the Bible as the number one necessity of their lives. God's word is like an anchor. Jesus is the anchor of the soul, and God's word keeps us anchored and grounded. And I do believe that the average Christian in America today has a theology that's a mile wide and about an inch deep. Very shallow. We all know about the stories or whatever it might be in the Bible. We all think we know the Bible, but to be honest with you, a lot of people aren't really living and reading and practicing the Word of God. A lot of people don't even know if we have the Bible anymore. A lot of people are just going with whatever the preacher says and whatever's on a screen behind them or something like that. Listen, we need to know the Scriptures. Jesus fought Satan with the Word of God. He fought Satan off with God's word. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And so I want to encourage you, number two, to know all of the Scriptures. To know all of the Scriptures. Now, how many of you in here know all of the Scriptures? Exactly. Even if you've read through it in a year, and even if you've gone to Bible college or you've gone to Sunday school or if you attend church for years, you might know a lot about the Bible or know more than the average, but that doesn't mean you know all the Scriptures. And then there's this other problem, and that's aging and our memory slipping. And how many of you besides me have read something and said, wow, I never saw that before? But I saw it before, I read it before, but I don't remember it. And so that's why we need to repeat and to constantly be reminded of the Scriptures. Know all the Scriptures. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So first of all, under knowing all the Scriptures, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Did you hear what the missionary said in China? He said, if Tom keeps reading the Bible, even if Tom doesn't want to be a Christian, Tom might accidentally become a Christian. Why? Because that's what God's word will do. There's a guy named Lou Wallace that was a friend of Robert Ingersoll, a famous agnostic atheist. And Lou Wallace was challenged to study the life of Christ in the Bible so that he could then refute the Bible. Lew Wallace and Ingersoll were friends in the Civil War, and Lew Wallace became governor of New Mexico, and Lew Wallace was a somebody, but Lew Wallace started reading God's word and reading the Gospels and reading about Jesus, and you know what he finally found? It's true. And he became a Christian. He wrote a book called Ben-Hur, and he honored God with his life after he got saved. Listen, the word of God will change you if you will be serious and honest enough with God's word. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing the word of God. This is why we need to speak and we need to read and we need to show people God's word, because it is that exactly, God's word. After faith, after salvation, after you've been born again by reading and understanding and knowing God's word and hearing it for yourself and finding salvation through Christ, then there is growth. And the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, as sincere Christians desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, that ye may grow by desiring the sincere milk of the word of God. Growth comes by feeding on the milk of the word of God. Now, I've got a grandson, and you've seen him. He's the cutest one there ever was. And I'll get to see him next month, and I'm looking forward to that. But my grandson is feeding, I'll just be honest with you, it's really disgusting. I mean, it's milk, and then it's this whatever glop stuff that she's starting to put in his mouth, and it's gross. But you know what? He got to start somewhere. And you can't start with steak. He doesn't even have teeth to chew it. He doesn't have the ability to chew it and to digest it. It would kill him if someone gave him steak. He's not ready for steak. So we have to start him with milk because he is a baby. But we all start somewhere. And so if you are still in that baby age and that baby steps as a Christian, that's not a bad thing. That just means that you need to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now here's what I can tell you about my grandson. He does not always follow his mother's schedule. And there are times that he'll wake up in the middle of the night and want some more food. Why? Because he's growing and he wants food and he wants it more often. And it might not be so tasty to you and I, but it's tasty to him and he wants more of it. I want to encourage some of you today. I want to encourage you with this. Please, I want to encourage you. I want you to shock your system. I want you to do something that might absolutely send vibrations through your body. I want you to consider going and listening to God's word taught and preached more than once a week. Maybe even more than once a day. I realize that the rest of the Christian world will call you a kook for doing that. But I want to encourage you to get more of the Bible than you're getting. I want to encourage you to be as hungry as my grandson at 3 o'clock in the morning. I want to encourage you to apply what you have and get more out of it. I want to encourage you to grow thereby. Let me just say that when I go to church, and I was in church last week and I wasn't the preacher. I was at a visitor at a church. I got some good food while I was listening to God's word being taught and preached. I'm thankful that I was in church and I was at the men's camp that they had going on. I'm thankful for the time I had. Listen, if you're not growing, it's not because the milk isn't available. Then notice also Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. If you're not listening to the word of God, your prayers are an abomination. If you have no interest in what God's word has to say, and you're not interested in learning and understanding the word of God, don't count on your prayers being answered. It's a typo, but it should be John 15, verse 7. Not John 15, 17, but rather John 15, 7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it will be done unto you. Let me encourage you to get to know God's word more than just reading it and checking a box every day. let me encourage you to memorize the Word of God. If you come to Sunday school, and I really don't know why anybody can't come to Sunday school. Maybe you have a reason, but I don't have a reason, so I come. I'm not even the teacher for Sunday school right now. But here's what I do know. The Sunday school teacher asked all of us to rehearse to us what we read in our Bibles this week for part of our Sunday school program, our Sunday school homework. And also, he asked if we could quote a Bible verse from memory. And he even gives out chocolates if we can quote the Bible verse from memory. I mean, it is a win-win situation. And you know what? There are adults that quoted Bible today from memory. It's not for the chocolate. Ever since I was this high, I was doing it for the chocolate. I was doing it for the pin or the ribbon or whatever it might be, an Awana, something like that. I was learning and memorizing the Bible. I was doing it for selfish reasons, selfish motives. I mean, but you know what? It wasn't bad. It was good. They were teaching me the Bible. In Vacation Bible School, we teach God's Word and we teach it to music, and so the kids can actually sing the very Bible verses. We sang a lot of Bible verses in Sunday school this morning. Let me tell you something. The more Bible I have in my brain, the more Bible I have in my heart, the better it is for me. See, there are times when I need the Holy Spirit to remind me of something the Bible says. It's a whole lot easier for the Holy Spirit to repeat to me what God's Word says when I put it in there than it is to pull out an empty file and you can't repeat it because I didn't put it in there. Hey, listen, it's important. We call it sword drill in Sunday school. I know Sunday school sounds like it's for kids, but it's not. We have sword drills for the children, and we have sword drills for the adults. You know what sword drills are? He calls out a verse, and we try to find it as fast as we can. There are some adults that think it's for the kids. How many men in here have taught or plan to teach your children how to shoot a gun? You have already. You think that's important. The truth is, maybe a very fraction of a percent in this room will ever need to use a gun to fight for your life. A wild animal might attack you and you might need to use a gun. A wild human might attack you and you might need to use a gun. I have no problem with people learning how to use a gun. I think you should. And I think Dad should be the one to teach the family how to use the gun. But let me ask you a question, Dad. Don't look at the floor. I'm up here. How many of you have taught your sons how to use the Bible? How many of you have shown your sons that you are active in the sword drills? You don't send your kid out and say, here, take the gun, go out, shoot at the paper target. Come back, tell me how you do. No, you take them with and you show them. Why? Because it's important to you. How about this right here? Because Jesus did not say man shall live by every gun you own. Jesus said man shall live by the word of God. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. Do not die being a father who taught your son something else better and more valuable and more important and more of a priority than the word of God. Get it? I ain't saying that because I'm a preacher. I'm saying that because I'm a Christian. We need God's word. You need it for your prayers. You need it for everything, for your faith, for your growth, for cleansing. After our prayers, there's also the need for cleansing. Psalm 119, look with me. Psalm 119 and verse 9. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Listen, it won't be long before there will be young people in here that will realize that they are filthy sinners. How are you going to get clean? The word of God. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I'm thankful for my adult teachers who taught me and showed me the importance of memorizing the Bible. I don't have the greatest Bible memory, you know, resource in my head that I probably should, but I have a lot of Bible verses memorized because I was given an award, I was given a prize, I was given a chocolate bar, whatever it might be. But here's what happened. One day, selfish Matthew, with the Bible in his brain, got saved and got some maturity. And it went from here down to here. And now, when I have to deal with life issues, I can recall from memory in my heart. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I remember a friend of ours who's in heaven now. His name is Dominic. Dominic started coming to our church when he was in his 60s. Dominic would sit in Sunday school and watch these children, and the children would, they would say, Mark chapter 7, verse 33, and then they'd flip open as fast as they could, and then they'd stand up and read it, and Dominic would be like going, I'm still trying to find the table of contents. How did they do that? Dominic said, I wish I'd have had that when I was a kid. I'd have wished I'd have had somebody that would teach me and show me how to navigate through the Bible and how to memorize the Bible and how to know God's word. They're not doing it anywhere else, you know. Unless you're doing it at your home, it's not going to happen anywhere except the home and the church home. And I'm telling you, it's for our cleansing. Look also in Psalm 119, and this time verse 97. Psalm 119 and verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Keeping his word. Nobody in here knows what the future holds. We all kind of hope it'll get better in some ways. We're all hoping things will improve in certain areas. I'm here to tell you that I tend to think it's going to get worse before it gets better. Oh, I'm not saying that there won't be some good days ahead, but the Bible does say perilous times shall come. It says that in 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, perilous times shall come. And then it says about verse 14, it says, but continue thou in the word of God, in the scriptures. This is what I'm going to do. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what things are going to look like. We read this letter from this man in China who is getting a lot of pressure because he's a Christian. And they don't want Christians in China unless they've got some other, you know, positive thing that they can add to their country. Christianity is not welcome in a lot of countries. Listen to me. It's coming to this country. This country is going to see that. I'm going to tell you right now, it won't matter what all everything else you know. What's going to matter most is what does the Bible say? And are you following the book? You can be wiser than your teachers. I remember reading that as a teenager thinking, I can be wiser than my teachers. Maybe I need to read more. But seriously, though, I can be wiser than the ancients. Look at verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. I'm amazed at how fooled people are by things. Now, I say that, but I've been fooled myself. But you know, God's word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In fact, that's what the next verse says. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And God's word's able to shine. You ever notice that people look better in candlelight. I mean, you might be the ugliest person in here. I was waiting for Mr. Spear to say amen. But anyhow, you might, but in candlelight, you actually have a good side. But you know what God's word does? God's word exposes the false. God's word shines a bright light. Hollywood is fake. They spend a lot of money on the lighting. But God's word exposes the fake. And I'm telling you right now that you and I need guidance, and that comes from the word of God. Verse 104 says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. And I'm telling you right now, Satan has lots of ways that look right, but they're wrong. They're false. Don't fall for them. How are you going to keep from falling for them? How are you going to know the difference between right and wrong? You need to know God's word. This is why you need it more than once a week. This is why you need it as often as you can get it. This is why you need the word of God. This is why we invite preachers to come in. This is why we have extra time of preaching. This is why we're encouraging people to get into the word of God. This is why. Then, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Jeremiah 15:16 says that there's joy for the people who know and believe and trust in the word of God. Joy and peace come through his word. You say, what do you mean joy and peace come through his word? Because great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What an awesome thing to know that God is just right on time. You know, there's technology out there that says that is now capable through GPS satellite and technology that's so advanced that sometimes it blows our minds, some of the things it can do. And of course, there's great advantage to some of that. How you can track. If you lose your cell phone, you can trace it and hopefully find it. If you're trying to figure out where your loved one is, you can kind of trace them and track them with their phone if they have it on. There's all kinds of technology, and there's even technology now where they've invented ways to actually implant this stuff into the human body. Right into the person's body, so that you could have it, for instance, on your hand, and you could just scan over a scanner or something. I noticed Sam's Club's got this new archway going in at the exit, and my wife said, "What's that for?" "Oh, that way you don't have to show the receipts. You're just going to walk right through, and boop, boop, it'll just know exactly what's in your cart." Wow, what technology! And we all know that it's people-controlled technology. We know that there's good that comes from some of that, but we also know it's people control technology. And here's what I also am aware of. There's a lot of people that are going, and going crazy about it. And they're ready to go live in a cave and turn off the electricity and live off the grid and And I get it. I get it. But here's why I'm not going, because 2,000 years ago, this told me in the last book, that would happen. 2,000 years ago, it said that there'd be this mark and no one would be able to buy or sell without it. 2,000 years ago. You know what? I'm excited. You know why? This knows what it's talking about. This knows better than they know what they're talking about. Oh, aren't you scared? Oh, I think it's certainly interesting times, but I'm loving the fact that I have something that keeps me totally sane and totally squared away. Well, what happens if we lose our freedom? You know what? This book's been around a lot longer than freedom of religion. This book's been around for a long time. And Jesus said it's going to continue to be around. That's why he said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If you turn to Psalm chapter 1, in our Friday night Hope for Addictions program that we have every Friday night, the first thing we do is we read Psalm 1. I was at a men's retreat, man camp, last week, and I looked over and a young man was sitting across the way, and he had a bookmark, the same bookmark we have, from Psalm 1. I was smiling when I saw it because that young man's a new Christian and he's just learning and growing. But, you know, I love Psalm 1, and I was taught this and I memorized this years ago. But if you don't have it memorized, please look at it. It says, Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And there's plenty of ungodly counsel out there. I mean, I don't care how conservative your news source is. If it isn't biblical, if it isn't truly based on the Bible, it's going to be ungodly counsel sooner or later. I'm not saying it's always wrong. Certainly better than the liberal side. However, what I want you to understand is, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But instead, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. This is why singing the Bible is so wonderful. I love the songs we sang in Sunday school this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. What I love about that is it's a promise. You put God first in your life. You seek his will and his way first, and he'll add the things to you that you need. He'll take care of you. Or you can do it this way. You can take care of yourself first, and you can make sure that you're and you can be number one in your life, and you can be your number one God, and you can do all it for yourself, but you don't have the promise then that he'll add it to you. The offering plate went by. Like every Sunday, I put my tithes into the offering plate. I want to make sure I'm putting him first place in my life. And here's what I can tell you. He has met my needs. He has taken care of my needs and even my wants. I just tallied up the checkbook register. Now, my math is bad, so I always ask my wife to look over my shoulder, make sure I'm tallying it right. But according to what I tallied, we have money left over at the end of the month. Woohoo! Sometimes we've been down to $3 left over at the end of the month. We have more than three this month. The point is, though, is that God has met my needs. And you know what's awesome about being a Christian? I have seen God meet my needs before I knew I had the need. And about the time I found out I had the need, I found out that he already had the supply. But I'm telling you right now, that doesn't come for the ungodly who don't put him first. And that's all just a promise. And so I can drive down the road, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And my truck has 328,000 miles on it. We're just breaking it in. It's just, and I drive by and I see, whoa, that's pretty nice. But my needs are met. I'm going down the road. I'm not riding a bicycle. I don't have a lot of issues with the truck. It's a blessing. It might conk out tomorrow, but it's a blessing today. Here's the point. God meets our needs, and we become like sheep. Well, I don't want to live like a sheep. I want to be able to take care of myself. If you'll read the Bible, you'll find out that you know what we're called? We're called sheep. Over and over again. I'm too proud to be a sheep. You're going to have to get some stuff fixed in your life then. Because no matter who you are and how macho you are, you're just a sheep. And if you're not saved, you're a lost sheep. And you know what sheep need? Football season is starting. Football season is starting, and there are none of the teams named the sheep. Because sheep aren't cool. Sheep aren't defensive. Sheep aren't macho. Sheep don't have, you know, a lot of, you know, sheep don't have fangs and claws. No, what sheep have is a shepherd. And the more I read the book of Psalms and other places, I find the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so he meditates in the law day and night. He thinks about what God's word is saying. And I'll just tell you, the radio station is tuned to something that will remind me of God's word. The CDs in the player are something that will remind me of God's word. The songs that we sing in church are something that will remind us of God's word. The preaching is supposed to remind us of what God's word said. And everything that we do is about reminding us of God's word. And we need it. And the blessed man meditates. So much so that verse 3 says, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Once in a while, you drive through Wyoming and South Dakota, and all of a sudden you'll see this little green vein of vegetation. What is that? I never saw that color before. We live in Wyoming and South Dakota. It's called green. Sometimes it shows up. What causes that green vein to run through that prairie? And you drive over there, and there is unbelievable water. And we say, wow, the Cheyenne River runs through there, and that's why there's a little green vegetation running through the desert plain. And once in a while, you'll come across the Christian, and you'll say, whoa, they're different. They're green. They're prosperous. They seem to be fruitful. What's different? They've got a water source, friend. That's all. They've got a water source. Quickly, I have to say this quickly. The carnal mind continues to feed on the junk food. Instead of the carnal mind feeding on the good spiritual food of the Word of God, the carnal mind feeds on the junk food. The Bible says in Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is death. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, it says, the carnal cannot digest meat. They can only handle milk. If you are a baby and you are taking milk, that's understandable. But if you have been a believer for a long period of time, but you still want milk, that means there's something wrong. What do we refer to someone who is 12, 13, 15 years old, and they're still drinking out of a bottle? What would we say about that person? Something's wrong. Friend, if you've been saved for any length of time, you should be taking in more than milk. You should be wanting more than milk. Turn with me to Hebrews 5, and we'll be done today. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. The carnal are not growing and maturing like they should. Hebrews 5, verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. After a while, if you've been saved for any length of time, you should be teaching others. Because you've been feeding on the milk, and eventually you started eating meat, and you started eating vegetables, and you began to grow and mature. By the way, you know what milk is? It is the product of someone who is mature. Think about it. Milk comes from someone who grew up. And if you still need milk, it's because you haven't. And you need to mature, and you need to say, I'm going to do more. One of the things my father did when he got to Schaumburg, Illinois, and started attending Bethel Baptist Church, he said to my mom, I like this church. Hey, let's come back tonight and see what they're doing tonight. And so then we'd start going on Sunday night, and let's find out what, and then they come back on Wednesday, they put Matthew in the children's program, and pretty soon Matthew was in preschool and in the Christian school, and pretty soon Tom Furs wasn't just drinking milk anymore. he was maturing and he was starting to actually give out milk to others as a teacher. I wonder if there's anybody in here that should be teaching, but you're still in the milk stage because you haven't matured yet. Let me encourage you today to use God's word. Most of us own more than one copy of God's word, and yet we're not using it. We carry it on Sunday, and we might even read our scheduled reading, but we really don't allow it to mature us. In Sunday school, Joshua was challenging everyone this week. He said, tell your salvation story to someone else. In other words, share it, pass it on. You've been taking it in, now reproduce yourself. The carnal are not growing and maturing as they ought. We ought to become teachers. That doesn't mean necessarily have a classroom, but we ought to become teachers of God's word because we are maturing. When I think of teachers, I don't just think of Sunday school classroom teachers. I think of rubbing shoulders at work with your coworkers, and they ask questions. You say, here's the answer to that. I just was reading that in the Bible last week, or I just heard that at church last week, and we share with them God's word. That's teaching and witnessing God's word. And then lastly, and let me just say this, would you consider what's coming? Would you consider what's coming? Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Whatever else you think is invaluable or is valuable right now on planet earth, whatever else you think is very, very valuable, let me tell you something, it's all going to pass away except for the word of God. Let me encourage you to know God's word, to apply it, to use it, and to share it with others. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Our heads are bowed. Would there be anyone today say, Pastor, I'm not even sure if I died, I'd be in heaven. I don't even know if I'm a born-again Christian. I don't even know if I'm saved. I heard you say something about that, and I'm not sure I am saved. Would there be anyone that would say, that's me, I'm not even sure I'm saved, but I would like to know more about that? Maybe wave your hand at me and say, that's me, Pastor, I'm not sure, but I'd like to talk with someone about salvation. Secondly, I know I'm a Christian, but I don't think I've been letting God's word feed me like I need it. I've been carnal and I've been feeding on junk food instead of the word of God. Everything else you can talk about, everything else you can prioritize, everything else that you say right now is important, one day, 1,000 years from now, will be junk food, except for the word of God and what it says to do. If God spoke to you about the word, start using the word. Maybe you used to do some things and you're not doing them anymore. Get back into the word. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for opportunity to teach it and preach it today. I do pray that you would help us who are Christians in this room to apply your word to our everyday lives, to know what your word says. Lord, I do believe that there are many Christians who are very carnal, who are looking at the world events and looking at situations and things in our life that go on, and we're getting sidetracked, and we're arguing or talking or discussing things that have their importance, but they really are not going to fix anything like your word will. Help us to realize that your words are number one priority, and that's where we need to stay. Help us to not be milk drinkers forever, but help us to become steak and meat eaters, chewing on the word of God and letting it in and digesting it and allowing you to make us something that would be more than what we thought we could be. May we be mature Christians that can now feed others and help others to grow. Help us, Lord, with your word. May we be Bible-believing, Bible-knowing Christians and Bible-living Christians. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.